to. Oh, that's my favourite. Don't throw that one away.
And I was a bit like, what the fuck are we doing in this, like, field with a caravan?
Someone might make my bed for me. Oh, maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I think they get it a bit from me.
And I've got the kids on my own. I don't sleep well.
It's about your bed. I am the sun cream queen. You know, maracas. Shush now.
Welcome to the Fun Dad Dean and Wife Unfiltered Podcast. I am Dean. I'm here with my amazing wife, Sarah. We have started this podcast to give a true representation of parenting. If you're new here, this is our second episode. I thought the nerves had gone away, but they're still very much here. We really want to say a thank you to everyone who supported the first episode. We've had so many DMs, so much amazing feedback. We were number one on the parenting podcast, well, the parenting category for a week on iTunes, so that was amazing. And yeah,
it's been amazing. I actually couldn't believe the response. I was a bit like, oh my god, this is so strange, because I'm very, very new to this world and this social media stuff, but I'm absolutely blown away. Like, people are just so, I've realized, I know I talked last week a lot about like the trolls and the horrible people out there on social media and on Instagram. But actually, you've proved me wrong, because there are actually so many nice people out there that have actually taken the time not only to listen to us waffle on for all that time, but they've actually messaged. And I just, yeah, we're just really grateful. And thank you so much. Like, some people have even taken the time to message us and write reviews. And that's just really humbling and really lovely. Yeah. So thank you.
I wasn't expecting any of that, to be honest. None of it.
Well, no, it's just like us waffling away like we do in our kitchen on like a Wednesday night. I do want to bring up one thing, Dean. So obviously, me being me, I haven't actually listened or watched the podcast back, because I can't, because it makes me cringe and overanalyze everything. But I do remember last week when we started the podcast, I do remember you didn't even introduce me. Didn't say my name. You literally just went, oh, hi, I'm Fun Dad Dean. And welcome to the Parenting Podcast. And you were so nervous. I remember thinking, like, going to introduce me in a minute. And then the whole podcast, he's like, my wife, this is my wife, and me and my wife. And I thought, all right, babe, just, you know, introduce me. No?
Okay, I'll do a proper introduction now. So...
Oh, brilliant. Week too late, but yeah, I'll take it. Go on.
So on Instagram, she's known as Fun Dad Dean Wife, and a lot of people message me saying, I don't actually know your wife's name. Well, her name is Sarah. We got married...
Oh, look at the hesitation. We got married. When did we get married, Dean?
No, we got back together about 12 years ago, wasn't it? When I say back together, it was because we started going out when I was 20.
Yeah.
So I was 20. You were...
It was actually around my... just before my 19th birthday.
Yeah, so we got together then and we started dating and stuff, but we quickly realised that both of us, like... well, you especially, like partying too much.
It was the era of Oceana and Liquid. Like, I don't know what you expect. Like, surely there's other people out there that can, you know, understand how much we loved Oceana and Liquid.
Yeah. So like, basically, we were both partying way too, well, a lot. So we realised that relationship probably wasn't the best way to go at that age, wasn't it? And then we split up at 20. I was devastated.
I was absolutely devastated.
Yeah. And then... it was like, so I at that point I had to cut off ties, because I'm like, look, she doesn't want to be with me at that time. So I had to cut off ties. And then we went for a period of about 3 years where kind of, you know, dated other people. But in the back of my head, it was like, they're nice girls, but they don't compare to Sarah. But then just as I was getting over her, she messaged me on Facebook, because I got to the point in my life where I was a bit like, I'm getting a bit over, not getting over it, but I could see you back on social media. I was happy to do that. So then I started following you again on Facebook, messaged me, and then, yeah, we got back together quite quickly, didn't we, after that?
And then we did. And then we've never looked back since. Here we are.
Yeah.
However many years later. Can't even do the maths, actually. I'm really rubbish at maths. I can't work it out, babe. Sorry.
I know.
Coming back, when did we get married?
God. 2017.
Yeah, you got it. What's the date?
April the 8th.
Oh, there we go. You do know. There we go. That's
yeah, so, and my wife's a teacher as well. For those who didn't listen to the first episode or know us much on social media, she's a teacher, primary school teacher, do reception. So she, yeah. Yeah.
No, that's a nice little introduction there, Dean. Thank you very much. It's a week too late, but thank you very much. I appreciate that. But it's been a, yeah, it's been a very interesting few weeks since the podcast, because obviously Dean is the main event, Dean is the show, and then I agreed to come on this podcast, and it's been really weird. Like, I suppose I felt very vulnerable opening our lives up to the world. Just it's very strange for me to share my face and our views and, you know, talk with you with other people kind of listening.
But it wasn't, I've been creating videos for, I don't know, 3-4 years. So I think I sometimes forget that you've only just started doing it. And I remember the first time, I think the first 300-400 videos I did, I didn't want to publish. But I forget what that feels like.
Yeah.
But now I can comfortably just put, you know, post a video.
I mean, at least you've got an easy name to remember. Like, literally, honestly, I've had, so like, people message me, like, what is your name? I'm like, oh, okay, it's Sarah. But I remember, like, I also hate my name. So I'm quite happy to be Fun Dad Dean Wife because, sorry, Mum, I hate my name. I don't know, Sarah. It's just a bit rubbish, isn't it? Like,
but no one knows how to pronounce it.
Yeah, but if you could choose a name, I definitely wouldn't choose Sarah. But often I'm called Zara, Sarah. Like, I worked with this one woman at work for about 6 years, and I think she called me Sarah for 6 years, and I just went with it. I was like, okay, yeah, and I'll answer to anything, me, you know.
But we've got friends who have known us for years, and they still call you Zara.
Yeah. So I did put out, like, a thing being on my Instagram, which is nothing compared to yours, but I'm trying. I'm giving it a go. And I put it out. And although we had loads of lovely messages, and again, I just want to say, like, thank you. Thank you so much if you've taken the time to message. Like, it really is really humbling and lovely that so many of you actually have the same problems as us. It's great. But this one person, I just feel like I have to share her message. So she put, honestly, I thought the "and wife" in the title belittles you. You are more than just "and wife," and you and Dean both know that. It might not be something that bothers you, but I feel it sets a tone that shouldn't be there in 2024. So I'm very sorry to you, person out there, who took the time to message me that. But I'm quite happy to be Dean's wife, and I'm quite proud. So screw you. Anyway, it's been a fun few weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah. So what have we been up to since the last podcast?
What have we been up to? For those asking, last week I did make it to the school run by the skin of my teeth. So we picked them up at 20 past 3, and I made it there at 21 minutes past 3 after the last podcast. So that's good. Much easier tonight because we've got my mum babysitting tonight, haven't we?
Yeah.
A bit easier.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll be asleep when we get back.
I mean, that's the dream, babes. Yeah. That's why I'm here.
Nice takeaway. Both asleep. Bob's your uncle.
That is literally my dream these days. You know, when you look at your watch and you think, oh, do you know what? It's like 6:30, and you think, if I go home now, I'm going to go home like right in the midst of bedtime.
Mm.
And, you know, and you just think, or I could go home at 7:30. And bedtime might be finished, I could get out of it.
Is that what you think on like a Tuesday? Because Tuesday is quite an often night where you tend to come in.
Wednesday's my staff meeting day, babes.
No, Tuesday sometimes going to the pub, isn't it, after work?
Well, maybe a Tuesday and a Wednesday.
A little story from there. There was a Tuesday about 6 weeks ago, and it was like that, like, couple of weeks. There was storms galore. The wind was horrific, and I catastrophize quite easily, don't I? Like, so really
such
easily.
A drama queen.
So it got to about, Sarah's normally home on a Tuesday, probably around, I don't know, 6:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 6:30. So I get in about 6:20. Sarah's mum has the kids. I get in, and about 10 minutes later, Sarah normally comes in. Got to about 7:30, and I thought, where is she? I know, like, and I looked outside and I thought, the wind's bad, traffic's bad, it's raining.
Did you get worried?
But then I started ringing you, rang her about four times, didn't answer. I'm like, messaged her, didn't answer. I'm like, that's strange.
Like you've never done that to me. Sorry, I feel like normally that is the men's role. No, stereotypical, I know, but I feel like that is you.
Because you never ever do it. So this is where I
best 90s show ever.
This is where I catastrophize. So I end up texting Sarah's mum saying, have you heard from Sarah? Where is she? Like thinking something bad happened. And where were you?
Well, I was at the pub. Why not? I'm entitled to it.
No.
Go for a nice pint after work. Don't drink pints, drink wine. Wine only. It's been lovely since the last podcast. I do think that. And I don't go to the pub often, Dean. On my own. It's fine. What have we done the last few weeks? So one thing that we did is we had a lot of family over, didn't we? So it was like a bit of a delayed Mother's Day. So we had a lot of family over one of the days. And I don't know about anybody else out there, and I'm really hoping everyone's the same. But I have this thing of when we have people over, I'm like delegating the lists. I'm like, right, we've got to clean the skirting boards. We've got to like suddenly do all these jobs that I don't normally want to do. But I'm like, we're having people over.
Polish the plants.
I'm like, we can't have people thinking that we're tramps, like that we actually live like this. Like I actually let the towels build up on the bathroom floor. We can't have people actually knowing that we're like this. But surely, is everyone like this? Like, does everyone have an Instagram-worthy, beautiful house?
I did it on Instagram. It went, you know, not viral, but a lot of views and a lot of comments and a lot of people kind of related to it, where I said basically that we should stop making our house look like a showroom every time someone comes round, because that's a standard we're setting as a society. So then when we go back to our house, which is a bit of a shithole most of the time, well, 95% of the time, we feel bad about it, because we're like, oh my God, we've just been around our friend's house. It's absolutely mint. Get back to our dump and then we feel bad about ourselves. But our friends doing exactly the same stuff as us. They're making their house like a showroom. And I'm of the opinion that if someone's coming round, we should, obviously, nobody wants to walk into a house that's a shithole. Let's be honest. You have to tidy a bit, but we take it to such unbelievable lengths. So my mum, my brother, my closest family come around our house, they've seen me at my absolute worst instead of like non-tidiness. And then we're making it like a showroom for them to come round.
I just feel like when people come around, you have to. But actually, do you know what? I feel like let's set a new precedent, I think. I mean, tell me, like other people out there, when you go on your friends' houses, do you still tidy up? Because I feel like there should be like this mum's club, right? And it's like often, especially now I've gone back to part-time a little bit, going back to full-time after Easter. But like, I just feel like we should set this precedent of, do you know what? Like, come from my house, but when you're round, yeah, we could have a cup of tea and we can sit in the kitchen and I could stress out before you get here about tidying my house. But come round and do you know what? While I'm putting the kids away, come and sit in my kids' bedroom with me and I'm going to put the kids' washing away. Like, I don't know. I feel like I want to set this mum's club of, do you know what? Actually, we can help each other out. Like, does anyone out there do that? It'd be a great thing.
But that's the whole
point. Let's do that.
But that is the whole point, because back in the day, I don't think people worried about this as much. Obviously, social media is everyone's houses, all this stuff. But back in the day, people used to pop around people's houses, quick cup of tea. Now, if someone wants to pop around someone's house, you're like, oh my God, the house is a mess. I've got to,
polish it. I honestly think some days, especially when I've been, say I've worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I get in late on the Wednesday night and there's, you know, there's stuff to clear up and there's washing, all the kids' toys, whatever like that. And then on a Thursday, obviously I'm like waking up, quick, got to get the kids ready, got to do their hair. They want plaits, they want, you know, like fucking Anna hair, you know, like from Elsa. They're demanding, and I give it to them because I only do the school run a few times a week. So
once.
So I do it, and then I literally.
How is myself, a few I'd, times the same as once?
I would like to invite like someone back to my house for like a coffee. But I don't, because I think to myself, my God, if you knocked on my door right now, I don't think I'd let you in. I'd need like a quick 5 minutes to just run around the house. But why? Why do I do that?
And you've, I wouldn't say you've warped me into that, but I think the way the world's going, it's warped me into that, because I normally wouldn't care. But even now, say we order a takeaway and, you know, takeaway guy comes to the door. I'm like, it's all like the kids' shoes and bags all by the door, isn't there? I'm like scared to open the door in case he sees like the rubble of mess in our. Before I was like, who gives a shit? The fuck? Who gives a shit really?
No, I know. But also, don't you think that's linked to like the amount of stuff the kids have now? Like, I don't remember. Like, I remember being younger and I remember thinking, like, I remember having Barbies and I remember having a Polly Pocket. And I remember having like certain toys, but I didn't have loads of them. Whereas I think kids are spoiled. I mean, our kids have got so many Barbies, so much stuff. I just think there's too much stuff. Like, if we took away half the stuff in our house, life would be easier. Like, anyone who's out there and who's done that, like, minimalist throwing everything away, throwing away the clutter, I'd love to know, like, if it even made a difference. Like, half the stuff in our house we probably don't need. I would love to go, like, really minimalist, like, chuck out the kids' toys, which obviously they'd have a fit about and everything would turn into, oh, that's my favourite, don't throw that one away. But I'd love to do it. Let's do it.
I read a book. I got so pissed off about a year ago about the mess in our house because no matter how hard we try, and we do try, but it always seems to be quite messy. And I got pissed off about it. I mean, there must be a solution for this. And I read a book. I can't remember the name. I'll find out on my Kindle. But she basically goes into people's houses and she'll throw 80%, something like 80% of it in bin bags. Because people
recycle it, just FYI.
Whatever, you know what I mean. They would clear out such a massive majority of the stuff in their house. Because I was saying to you the other day, the reason our house can get messy is because there's just too much stuff in the space we've got, and it makes it much harder to tidy. And if you look at the kids' stuff, I would say that actually...
No, the kids' stuff, I barely have anything. Like, we literally turned up here today and I have so little clothes because I will not buy myself anything. I'm like, oh, the kids, yeah, buy them out. No, we've turned up here today and we've both got the same tops on as we do in the artwork, like the picture or whatever for the podcast.
And that wasn't intended.
And that wasn't even intended. That is just so little clothes I have that every time it comes to like an event or a picture or a podcast, I wear the same black top.
But I
think I even had it under my jumper last week.
I'm the same as you. I had very limited toys, but I would say the kids would play better if they had less toys. If you go in their room, there's so much stuff. I think it's like overwhelming for them to know what to play with. They've got about...
Let's get rid of it then. Let's throw it all away. Let's put them to sleep and get rid. Donate it to charity. Donate it to a nursery. Let's get rid. That'd be my mission. I'll let you know. Let me know if you've ever done it. I'd love to know, like, have you culled the kids' toys and did they notice in the end? Be good one to know. But
next week, going to the caravan. And one thing I do love, following on from the last conversation, one thing I love about the caravan is obviously it's holiday type vibe, but as well, it is so much easier to keep tidy because it's so much smaller.
I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I've always grown up with caravans, haven't I? So my parents had a caravan since I was very, very little. We were so lucky. We had the most incredible holidays in this caravan site. And when I say caravan, sorry, Dean's just dropping his microphone. When I say caravans, what I mean is not like on a site with like a clubhouse and an arcade or anything like that. It's literally a farm. Right, in South
Wales. Find your own fun, isn't it?
Oh my God, and I've loved it the whole time, and I've kind of like converted Dean into our caravan life of fun. And I love it because I can tidy the whole caravan in like 45 minutes. I think I could live in a caravan.
I could.
Yeah.
We have.
Why aren't we living in a caravan?
We have.
We should.
But our caravan's only open from March till November, which is a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I could live in a caravan. I don't need the mess in this house and I don't think we need half the stuff.
But
love a caravan holiday.
Because I never knew about caravans until I met you, because you've always had a caravan. You took me down there. I was a bit like, what the fuck are we doing in this like field with a caravan and there's nothing here. And I was like, I didn't get it. And a lot of people don't get it. So I went down there, but I've fallen in love with it, haven't I? And we've got our own one now, but it's obviously taken away from the fact that we don't really go abroad, do we?
Also, no, we don't really go abroad. I think Ruby's been abroad once, and So Ruby's five now, and Daisy, I don't know, maybe three or four times, but always. So my parents have got a place in the Canary Islands, and we just tend to always go there because it's easy. You just got to pay for flights, and then you get there. But I remember taking Daisy to Lanzarote once, because that's the Canary Island, they have their place, and we'd be staying at my mum and dad's, and then we'd walk past like a hotel, you know, with the water slides and the groups going on and all the fun and games and the music playing. And she'd be like, why can't we be in there? Why can't we be in there? And I'd love to take them on an all-inclusive one day, I think. Are they easy though? Like when you get to are they worth it? Are the kids still stuck to you like glue? That's what I'd want to know.
Ours
like,
would be. Wouldn't they?
I don't know, I think they'd like the kids.
They'd need about a week's worth of warming up and then they would be.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. Are we missing out? Is all inclusive good? But the thing is, with the caravan, they make friends and they just play out, and it's really, I feel like they're safe there. I feel like they're busy. I feel that they're doing stuff with, you know, like going down the beach, climbing the sand dunes, going to the park.
But that is the beauty of having a caravan, because they get the life that, not that we used to have, like going out playing. Like, I wouldn't let our kids go out and play on our street, would you? I know some kids do in our street.
Not yet.
No, but, well, Daisy's nine. So what age are we going to allow that?
Secondary school. No?
Yeah, but no, if you go on our street now, there is like groups.
Yeah, but that's because I don't trust her, and I don't trust the drivers, and I don't know. What time do you... I don't know. Is that a thing? Do people... I don't know.
No. I don't think it is naturally a thing, but it used to be a thing.
I used to play out on the street in primary school I went to my friend's house.
But that's why I love the caravan for the kids so much, because they can go out and play and get that kind of life, which we can't provide at home anymore, can they? And then they just end up stuck on... Don't want to get in the iPad conversation today, but then they get stuck on that a lot, don't they?
Yeah, I suppose. But I just think, like, I don't know, I'm just I just would love, like, Daisy is now nearly 10, and I have had to, every holiday we go on, I still have to cook the dinner. Unless we go out for dinner, but, you know, if we're at my mum's, then we'll make dinner. I still have to make the beds. I still have to do all the washing. I still have to, like, do every... It's basically, like, same shit, different place. Mm. But the idea of an all-inclusive is really appealing to me, because someone might make my bed for me. We might stay in a hotel. Like, that would be amazing. And also, like, I think there'd be a lot of pros, but what worries me is taking fussy eaters abroad. That's another thing. I worry so much. If we were to go abroad with the kids, would they eat the food?
No.
Like the buffet food and everything on offer. You know, she'd be like, I'd be like, oh, Daisy, there's hash browns. You love hash browns. I'd put a couple on her plate and she'd go, these are different to the ones at home. I'm like, oh my God, it's a hash brown. Hash browns are hash browns. No?
Ruby's a bit better like that, though. I think Ruby could cut up a sausage at least. Daisy is just...
Oh, they're like, oh, it tastes different. It's not like the ones we have at home.
Daisy is especially like that. Like, she, like... Isn't she?
Yeah, I think they both are. And to be honest with you, maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I think they get it a bit from me. I'm a bit like that.
Yeah.
I'm a bit like, oh, this is not what I'm used to.
Oh, no.
I'm fuss pot.
There's only two foods I won't eat. Well, one, actually. Oysters.
Right.
And liver.
That's because of your dad, though. Liver.
No, but liver's just disgusting, isn't it?
Also, that reminds me, my mum is so offended by last week's podcast about the turkey Twizzlers and the pie in the tin and microchips. She has said that I just need to tell everybody that I can guarantee I did not just grow up on turkey Twizzlers, pie in a tin, microchips, and whatever else I said. But she's like, sorry, you can't be telling that about me. So, mum, sorry, I did also get fed a little bit of other food.
Well, like what?
Pizza, spag bowl, I don't know. But sorry, mum. Confessing all my mum's secrets. So, Dean, what I want to know is, when are we going to an all-inclusive? When can I have a break? Like, and where should we go? If our genuine question now, if anyone listening has actually got a genuinely good recommendation of somewhere we can go on holiday, all-inclusive, not Dubai. I have a problem with the prices in Dubai. I'm not going and paying whatever it is in Dubai for a bottle of beer or a glass of wine. Somewhere else that we can go and it's all inclusive. There's kids slides and it's a fun vibe and there's a good kids club and the food is good. Where, like, I feel like if we got a really good recommendation, we could try and save and maybe go like next year or the year after.
We wouldn't, though. We wouldn't.
We'd go to the caravan, wouldn't we?
We'd either go to the caravan or we'd go, nah, like, we might as well go to your mum's place because it's just,
it's easy.
It's simple. That's what's happened because.
Yeah, but we can't just go our whole adult lives and our kids can't go their whole childhood.
At the end of the day, wherever we go abroad with our kids isn't going to be, well, it might be a bit more fun now, but it's not, it's just stress with a bit of a tan, isn't it? You come back absolutely brassic, you're burnt. You come back to about...
You're burnt. I am the sun cream queen. Thank you very much.
Hell, yeah.
I love sun cream. I will be the person going around the beach like, oh, have you got your sun cream on? Put your sun cream on.
Yeah, no. We go through like... She's like... She's.
I love sun cream.
She goes to me, I don't know why you're so brown. I'm like, because I haven't been piling on factor 50 every 20 minutes down.
Do you know why it is though? Because I'm telling you now, I went to... Was it Tenerife? I went to Tenerife with the girls when I was... I don't know, about 20.
Remember, sorry to cut you off. Remember that time you came back from Ibiza when we were first going out?
I know.
Oh my God.
I was brown.
Yeah. I still got images of that.
All right. You know, maracas. Shush now. That's our code word for Dean. Stop talking right now. You're embarrassing me. I went to Tenerife with the girls and I got so incredibly sunburned. You know, when you're 20 and you think, I was so ignorant and I put on not even an oil. It was a gel. It was from Boots and it was like a factor four gel.
Oil.
No, it wasn't even an oil. It was worse than that. It was a gel. So it stayed like moist and wet. Oh, I hate that word. All over your...
Moist.
Oh, stop it. And I put it on and I'm not joking. I was so sunburned. I couldn't even put my clothes on. I had to borrow this like blue dress from my friend Charlotte, who is skinnier than me, and it didn't really fit me, but I couldn't wear anything with straps. I was so burnt. And I just remember, it's like scarred me for life. Like even now, what's that? 16 years later, I'm still the sun cream queen now because I cannot be burnt like that again. It like blistered and everything.
But you've put it on to me because I remember you have to, like, loads of sunbeds and I would never.
You loved sunbeds.
Because I'm a bit.
Hold on. Please. Oh my God. Right. When this podcast is released, I have to. Oh my God. I'm going to put up a picture of you from when we first met.
The blonde Adonis.
Dean had Hawaiian shirts and he used to have this really, really like orange tan. I remember we went on a date somewhere once, one of our very first dates. And one of my friends, Dom, he basically was like, oh, where'd you find him? And I think he said, did you just got back from Barbados? Because you had this like Hawaiian shirt on.
Sunbed Studios in Tolworth.
And you had like this orange tan and you looked like you had like this spiky blonde hair and it looked like you dipped your head down a toilet with bleach in it. Like you just had these random things. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know this at the time. My friends told me after. People used to come up to me in like pubs and point at my hair and the way I look. So I proper thought I was a surfer dude, didn't I? Oh. Had both my ears pierced, didn't I?
I still fell for you, babe.
Yeah, I know, it worked, didn't it? The Hawaiian shirts worked. I think I've still got a couple in my wardrobe, haven't I?
Yeah, bring back the Hawaiian shirt, because you look good.
Definitely.
At least today, I am not worrying too much about getting home for the kids because we've got a babysitter. But the question is, when we get home, who is going to choose what we're going to watch? So our house, Dean, you are absolutely the ruler of Netflix in our house. If I was to suggest the things I want to watch, you're just straight away like, no.
It's absolute crap. I mean, so one day we just watched that. Well, I didn't. Sarah just motored off like she usually does when she's enjoying something. So one day we watched... And even you said that was underwhelming. I think
I'd seen the film though, so I knew what was going to happen. I'd seen the film, and I think that ruined it. I like to be surprised at what I'm watching. I like to watch things for the first time.
Unless someone's getting murdered.
Oh my God, you sound like a psychopath.
Involves a cartel or something like that, or like a mystery, or something like that, I'm not interested. I can't do the I can't do the lovey-dovey stuff.
But do you know what? Sometimes I just don't want to have an hour before I go to sleep listening to like people shooting themselves, swearing, shouting. I just want something, you know.
So
nice.
So we're on Marcella at the moment, aren't we? And that's quite intense. Even I'm a bit like, I'll just do one of these because you're going to bed with your heart beating.
Like watching a thriller straight before bed.
But yeah. there should be like a rule when you get married that when one of the other one falls asleep, you turn, especially if you're both into it. Like one day I wasn't bothered that you went off because you knew I wasn't that bothered about it. But like we've watched certain series where I'm like, she just motored off without me, and that is the series over for the other person. And that
is that marriage betrayal for you.
Yeah,
like watching a Netflix series
like
about
Breaking
you.
Bad. I remember Breaking Bad, but at least with Breaking Bad you can kind of miss massive chunks of it and still kind of understand what's going on because the actual plot isn't that difficult to understand.
Give it away, babe. People might not have seen it.
No, I know, but you really rate, you were like two, like
I love Breaking Bad. Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah,
yeah. And I will go on ahead without you, sorry.
Yeah, I know you will.
I know. Sorry. But the thing is, though, I genuinely fall asleep like a lot of the times when we're watching the series in bed. Like, what? I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I tend to go to bed at 9 and I'll say to Dean, like, at 8:45, I'm like, come on, are you coming up? And because we only got a telly in our room, what, in September, was it? October?
Something like that.
Yeah. And I'll say, like, oh, I'm going up now. And I'll go up at like 9. And I think 10 o'clock is quite a late night.
No, but I'm on a new strict regime where I'm like, I'm going to bed at the same time every night because I sleep better. So the last about week or so, I've been coming up at 9, one episode of Netflix, one, because you can get proper carried away on there, and then I'm falling asleep. And I found that to be, I'm sleeping way better.
I literally, when we watch a programme and then you just go like, you like get into bed and then you say like, night. And then you like literally just put your head in the pillow, you lie back and you go to sleep. And I like lie there looking at you thinking, how do you sleep like that? Like I have to have a certain set of conditions for me to even be able to contemplate going to sleep. It's got to be dark. I've got to be lying in a bed. Can't be on a sofa. Can't be like with the kids, anything like that. And it takes me ages. Not getting into it now, but for all those mums out there, why aren't we going to sleep? Mental load. Can't bring that up with Dean yet because it's a very tricky subject in our house, but mental load. Mine is bigger.
I don't think it's...
No, we're not getting into it now. That is for another week because we'll definitely have a row.
But I know I'm quite a decent sleeper. That is one thing I'm all right at. And even sometimes I'm a bit like, oh, I've got quite a big day tomorrow. I've got lots on. I want to sleep. And then sometimes I worry that I'm not going to sleep. But then I wake up in the morning. I'm like, oh, I did sleep.
You always sleep.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. But do you know, like, because sometimes me worrying about you not sleeping actually affects my sleep. Because sometimes, because Sarah's quite a really light sleeper. And so if I get up in the night, like, she'd be like, I might nudge the bed because I'm like, our room's quite small, so there's like a tiny gap between the washing we've got hanging up in there and the bed. So like, I'll nudge the bed, and then she'll have a go at me for nudging the bed. She'll have a go at me for
nudge the bed. You like crash into it and wake me up. Then you go into the bathroom and pee like an absolute racehorse into the toilet. And I'm pretty sure next door can hear it, like in their bedroom next door as well. Like, is that a man thing? Because I'm sure. As women, this is a bit of a potty toilet conversation again, but you know, but we don't wee that loudly. Why is yours so loud?
Mine isn't loud.
It is loud.
Are we into the side of the toilet?
No, you don't. It's absolutely. This morning I was awoken to the sound of this racehorse wee into the pan. You definitely don't. It's so loud. I think next door could hear it.
Yeah, but if you went to the toilet in the night, I wouldn't hear it.
I know, because I'm quiet and I'm thoughtful.
No, it's because you're light sleeping, you make out that I'm really loud, but it's really the light sleeping.
Like, oh, it's my fault.
We had like a dog. Remember that dog next door?
Oh,
in our
my
old
God,
house?
In our old house. I used to have to go and like drive in the night back to my mum's if they left their dog at home.
Yeah, I know.
I would like drive to my mum's house and go and stay at my mum's house in the middle of the night.
So she would be moaning about this dog that was barking next door, and I hadn't even heard it because I think you tune into sounds like that, don't you? And then she was like, this dog's barking. So then I tuned into it. Then I couldn't fucking sleep because I'm tuned into this dog barking. Yeah. And then you drove around your mum's, slept in there and left me just barking dog. And I'm fucking going barking mad at our house.
Sorry. Yeah, no, my sleep's more important. It just is. But I think as well, becoming a mum and having another little life in the house that you have to listen out for and look out for has made me even more of a light sleeper. Because I think subconsciously when you're asleep, you're not even 100% asleep. I don't know if that makes sense. No, I don't know if people get that. But I just know that there are these two other humans that depend on me and that need me and that might wake up, or they might be sick, or they might have a bad dream, or they might, you know, I'm never 100% relaxed, 100% asleep, because I feel like part of me is always awake because I know that they're there.
And let's just touch, we're not going to go deeply into it, but let's just touch on that mental load thing, because this is where I would 100% agree with that. Like, if I'm at home and you're there, I can sleep without a care in the world. Say if you're not there for, say you go away with a girl, just say you're away for the weekend and I've got the kids on my own, I don't sleep well because I know that those...
It's you that I'm not there to help.
Yeah, so you're... No. So
my theory is proven.
Yeah, so what I would say is with that, you take... That's kind of where the mental load thing is, I guess. You're kind of a barrier for me. You're there, you've kind of taken that load of the kids being there, and I can sleep freely. And I only feel that when you're not there, and I'm like, fucking hell, I don't sleep at all when Sarah's not here.
Welcome to my world.
But I don't know whether that's also it's because I need you next to me in the bed to sleep. Do you know you were saying that, like, I wake you up when you're...
Oh my God, like literally, so sometimes, no offense, I love you, but Dean goes out and I'm secretly like, yes, he's going out, and I can do all those little girly things, you know, like epilate my legs, put on a face mask, watch my girly crap film.
Once a year, epilate your legs.
Oh, you dick. But then I start looking at my watch, I start looking at the time, and I'm like, well, when's he going to be home? Oh, I don't know. And I just can't sleep. I can't sleep till you're home. It's so sad.
If I have a late night, which isn't massively often now, but I used to like
take the piss and say you'd be home at 11 and come home at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah, I did that quite often. Yeah, a bit. Cheers. Not now, but I used to a bit. And Sarah used to be like, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, where are you? Didn't you?
You'd say I'll be home at 11. I think, well, have you been beaten up? Have you lost your wallet? Like, has somebody nicked your phone? Like, just let us know. Like, for all the men out there, I don't know if many of men are listening to this. I don't know if you are, but just, and me. No, I did it to you at the pub though. But anyway, just tell your partner where you are, because we worry, don't we?
Yeah,
I've done it to you back, and you had a slight snippet of how that felt, but I was only at the pub.
Even the other night. Was it the other night? You went out. You weren't late. You were back about 11:30. I think you went out with work. Oh
yeah, yeah. And I went out to. I went with the girls to Wimbledon.
Oh yeah. So yeah. I fell asleep quite early, and I woke up at like 11:30. I was like, "Where is she?" And I'm thinking, because this was like, I normally don't worry about it, but this was like not even like a tame night restaurant, wasn't it? Just a meal. So I was like, "Where is she?" And I text her saying, "Where are you?" And she was listening to a bit of our podcast in the driveway, weren't you?
I was really struggling, so I kept on like being like, "Oh, I'll have a little listen," then I couldn't, because obviously, you know, my friends are really lovely. Like, one of my friends was particularly lovely. She was so nice, like asking us questions about the podcast and stuff, but I didn't feel like I was mentally prepared to like answer them, because I was like, I haven't actually listened to it, and I'm struggling with this. Like, I feel very like, stop asking me questions. Like, I've done it. I just listened to it, but don't talk to me about it. I know, nice, aren't I? But hopefully these will get slightly easier. Hopefully we've not, I don't know, been super duper boring, because I always think it's just us waffling on having a chat, but it's nice to know that other people out there actually feel the same as us and have the same thing. And one girl actually was messaging me on Instagram as she was listening to the podcast, like giving her opinions to me and saying, oh, I think this and oh, I think that. And oh, I just, and she just said, like, she kept on wanting to like jump in and give her opinion. And I love that because it's actually, it's like other people feel how we feel and have the same annoyances and have the same thoughts. And it's just really nice because I think I've never known a platform. Like generally, I suppose I follow like celebrities and, you know, people that whose worlds don't necessarily align with mine as much. So it's been really nice to think, oh, do you know what? Yeah, people do have messy houses and people do have arguments with their partners and, you know, people are worried about their children's social media. It's just really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, the response we've had has been amazing. So we're going to be releasing, just reiterate, we're going to be releasing a podcast every 2 weeks, aren't we?
Yeah.
Sarah's delighted about that.
I'll give it a go. No, it has. No, do you know what? I've surprised myself. It has actually been quite fun. And yeah. And I think I'll try it. Like, yeah. So, awkward.
So thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I hope you all have a good few weeks. And I'd love to know your opinions on some of the stuff in the pod. I find it so fascinating out there what we all think.